A wonderful song to lead us into today's scripture, which is found in Mark chapter 10. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered. 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' 'Teacher,' he declared, 'all these I have kept since I was a boy.' Jesus looked at him and loved him. 'One thing you lack,' he said. 'Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?' The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, 'Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.' The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man that is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God.' Then Peter spoke up, 'We have left everything to follow you.' 'Truly I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first.'" Ooh. The word of the Lord. I think that there are moments in our lives where we can reflect, and I think we could get this scripture. I think when we think on our own lives, there are moments that help us understand what Jesus is after. What Jesus is after us for. When I was reading the scripture, my own life kind of began sparking up within me. Recognizing that I had a life, and then I had another life. The life I had as a young child, I was raised by a single mother. No dad, sometimes grandma, always in an apartment, always on the move, never around for more than a year or two in any single place. And we had a rhythm of life, and it was wonderful. I would never look back and go, "Oh, my childhood was horrible," because it was filled with love. And I had my own room, and I had my own things. I didn't have to share with any siblings. I was an only child. Blessed upon blessed to be an only child. When I wanted to do something, I did it. When I didn't want to do something, I didn't do it. Me and my mom had our schedules worked out. I had the TV for cartoons in the morning. Then she had it for soaps during the afternoon. Then by the time I got home from school, more shows. Then she took over for primetime, right? And when she was watching TV, I was out with friends doing what I wanted to do, and then I would come home, right? There was no arguing about what we were going to eat for dinner. Not because my mom was, "This is what's for dinner," but because there were no other opinions to have. Mom would say, "What do you want for dinner?" I would like chicken parmesan. Great, that's what we'll have, right? Simple, easy, rhythm of life. And when I lost my mother, right? There was already that grief. that grief of loss. But there's something else that we really don't talk about, and that's the grief and loss of the rhythm, of just the patterns of life that happened. I moved in with another family, one that already had patterns and systems down. I was no longer the blessed only child. I was one of four. And we all had different opinions, and we all had different likes and dislikes, right? And guess what? My stuff wasn't only my stuff anymore, because it was like always having friends over, because everybody wanted to play together, right? I had to share a bathroom with people. Crazy to think about. I had such a hard time with that. There was a lot. That was a hard transition. When I moved in with this family, it felt like I had lost everything. Not just the person I loved, but my entire life. Everything was different. Nothing was the same. I truly felt lost and forgotten. Now, whether that was the truth or not, that's how it felt. And I want us to carry that image, because maybe you've had that image yourself. Maybe you've experienced something like that yourself. And I want us to carry that in to this scripture. Because today's lesson, Jesus says, my followers will be givers and receivers. And we start with the basic truth with children. There's nobody more dependent than children. As I've learned really hard yet again this week. That baby girl depends on us for everything. And that doesn't change as they get older. I'm sure many of us parents still feel that today, no matter how old our children are. There's still some deep connection there. And I think that's formed in trust. They have to trust us, right? They have to trust their parents. We, even if we have broken homes, hurt relationships, we know that ideal that the parents are supposed to be that relationship that we have trust, that what is good for us, what is right for us will happen, right? That they do have our best interest in heart. They will provide for us. That is the hope, even if it's not the reality, right? That is the ideal, even if it's not our experience. And Jesus says, when all the apostles are trying to shoo away all the children, no, these ones. You have to be like these ones. These ones, people like these children, receive the kingdom. There's language here that reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who are poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Right? How much trust do we have in our Father in heaven? Because when we have that trust, we receive it. We receive the kingdom. And he says, those who don't, they don't receive the kingdom. Ooh, that's a hard one. And we're followed up right with the best example. It says Jesus was going out. He was leaving from that place, and a rich man comes up to him. Now, we're going to pause here because, boy, I think context matters. If we're talking about who has a blessed life, we know what that looks like. We're told what that looks like every day from social media, magazines, TV, movies. What does the good life look like? I bet you it looks a lot better, we would say, with money. You have better opportunities for education, for healthcare, right? People who have money typically live a little bit longer because they have access to better things, better food. This is no different in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, some of those wealthy people were the people who were clergy, who worked in the temple, who were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so when you would look around and you would say, who's living the good life? It would be the people with indoor plumbing. Think Think about that. There are some people in the United States who 100 years ago did not have indoor plumbing. And there were people living just outside of Jerusalem who had enough money to have indoor plumbing. That's the good life. When you looked and said, who's got the hand of God on them? It wasn't a stretch to see that it was the wealthy and very well possibly the clergy. And just like for today, those who have money can go out and get a better education, can seek out, maybe even call some good, smart people to have private tutors, right? This is what this guy is doing. It was not uncommon for his day for wealthy people to seek out good teachers, popular teachers, right? Come and teach me. Tell me what I have to know. Give me something. And sure enough, I bet you he's ready to lay down some money for it too. So this is the interaction we're at. This is where we're at in the story. And this man who has wealth comes to Jesus and asks him a question. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What must I do to experience the age to come? What must I know or have or do to know that I have salvation? You can put it in those ways too. And Jesus goes, let me list the commandments. Now here's the thing. This isn't unusual. Jesus isn't doing something unique here. This is something that, to be honest, if you were to go up to any sect and any great teacher of that sect, what must you do? You must follow the laws of God, and if you really want to know if you're saved, you must join and be one of my crew. Right? You have to be part of my denomination. You have to be part of my church. Do we get that sense, that feeling? Jesus is saying the same thing. Tell me the commandments. Here we go. Down the list, he starts naming them. And the guy declares, it says, oh, I have done all of these things since I was a boy. Can you feel the smile on his face? Oh, the popular good teacher. And Jesus, it says, loved him. And he says, there's only one thing you lack. Let's be honest, it's the thing he wants. So go, sell your home, leave your work, leave your business, whatever's making you that money, give it to the poor, and your reward in heaven is something you will experience. Come, follow me. And it says he left away sad. He went away sad. Right? And this is where we go, oh, well, if Jesus would have called me like that, I'd drop everything. What wouldn't I give to follow Jesus? To hear him look at me with those famous words, come, follow me. But we label those people nowadays as missionaries. For those people who are the extreme, right? Who have given up everything, who have sold everything, to go minister to those people, to go on the road. That's not for me, Jesus. We find ourselves right along this wealthy person. There are some of us who don't want to even change our morning routine, let alone sell things. I grew up in a household which is, don't talk to me until I have my cup of coffee. Right? That's a little change. That's a little give. You're asking me to sell everything. For all we know, this is somebody who for generations have been part of the family business, generation after generation, building that wealth, building that business. And he finally gets to a good spot where he can provide for his family. They have honor in the community. This is a good moment. And then Jesus goes, great, now sell it all. How many of us would go, absolutely, Jesus, with a big smile on our face, let me go do that. There's some of us who have stuff in our house that isn't worth anything that we can't get rid of. Let's be honest. But here's the part, right? What was his question? What must I do, right? What must I do to have, to experience eternal life? Eternal life, Jesus says, is to know God and the one whom he sent. The whole point of the promise of the age to come, of new creation, is God is with God's people. You get to be in God's presence and the world is being made right. And here is Jesus, the very presence of God made flesh. And he's going, here it is. This is the thing you're lacking. It's right in front of you. Take it. It's yours. And he walks away sad. Lent is about giving. What are we willing not just to give up, but what are the things that we have that we refuse to let go of? This is why Jesus looks. Sometimes people say, oh, well, there's this spot in Jerusalem where it's the camel's needle and you have to... None of that's true. The truth is, he says, how hard is it for a rich person, a person of money, to enter the kingdom of God? It is like somebody who's trying to fit a camel through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. And the people in the crowd, his own disciples, go, then who can be saved? Who has salvation? Because this was the definition of the good life. If you were to put money down during Jesus' day of who has the hand of God on them, if you had to guess who God was going to bring into his kingdom, here's the wealthy man. And if he can't, what standing, what chance do I have? Right? And Jesus says, you don't. But it's only made possible through God. All things are possible with God. Even that. This man doesn't have a faith like a child, doesn't have a trust like a child. And it's a big ask. It's a big story. Guarantee you, every one of us in this room would really struggle with this ask. I wrestled with it. I just got a house. What do you mean I have to sell it? And I do this for a living, and I love it. But even I would look at Melissa and she'd go, you better go talk to that man. Right? We struggle with this. This is real. When we are asked to give, even if it's the littlest thing, it can be unnerving. It could be unsettling. It could feel like suffering. When Jesus calls us, there is a call to change and transformation. And that's going to feel like losing things, even though we're giving things. We do this willingly. We want this, right? We want the kingdom. We want to be in the presence of God. We want to live the good life. These are things that we are willing to give. And yet, how many times have we been in positions where the giving feels more like taking? Maybe you've been in this situation where I can't give anymore has come out your lips. I don't know if there's anything left for me to give. When you feel absolutely at the bottom, like there's nothing left to give. Yes? Ever been there? I tell you, there's moments. Just last night I felt that way. I can't keep my eyes open, darling girl. I'm giving you everything. I've heard that word out of my wife's lips multiple times this week. And yet it's there where we trust the most. It's there when our faith is truly revealed. And what we find is that what we have been giving, we have now been receiving. That this life that we thought we absolutely lost has actually been something that we have received. Since I was a boy, I wanted a mom and a dad and a house and stability and not moving all the time. And I got it. But what did it take to get there? I'm not saying God was like, I'm going to take your mother away. I want you to hear that although in that moment I felt like I had lost everything, my life was not gone. I had received so much, if only I could see it staring me in my face. How many times does that happen to you? How many times do we feel like we've been struggling and struggling, and we get towards the end of that struggle and we open our eyes and we are just so thankful, not that it's over, but for what we have and what we've seen. We see this over and over again in the New Testament. Peter leaves family, mother, brother, sisters, wives, his own business, which was probably now booming thanks to Jesus and all the fish he got him to catch. And he goes on the road. Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, somebody who must have had a little bit of money. He had one of the best teachers of the time. And yet everywhere he goes, no matter what he gave up, he always had a home, family, people he called brothers and sisters, friends everywhere he went. And Jesus says, yes, you will get back everything that you've given up. Because that's what Peter says. Well, we've left everything to follow you. And he says, yes. And what you have given will be given back to you. You will receive what you have given. But more. And that more is interesting. Because he doesn't quite quote the same thing that they lost. And he adds persecution and life in the age to come. We've all been through growth. It requires a little bit of giving something, letting go, change, discomfort, sometimes real suffering. But out the other side, what do we receive in return? And what Jesus is saying is you receive the kingdom of God. You receive the long promise of God's people to be present with the Lord. And so he finishes. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Because when we feel that we have become last, least, forgotten, unimportant, we cannot give no more, we've given all we can, we find that we are first in the kingdom, that we have received that blessing, that the very thing our heart has longed for has been given to us. So the question becomes, what do we need to give? What is God calling us to give? That's part of this season. That is part of what Lent is. What are we giving? Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's mental. What are we giving? What are we giving to our families? What are we giving to our friends? What are we giving to our church? What are we giving to our community? And even if it feels like we're losing, even if it feels like life is being thrown upside down, that's when the blessings begin to feel real. That's when we see it, because we're participating in it. That's the upside down logic of the kingdom that we find in both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The unexpected blessing. And he doesn't say this is only for the few, it's only for the rich. He says, my followers, this is the way of disciples. We're givers and receivers. So I invite you, in what ways might you be called to give this season? And if not this season, then this season of your life. But also, in what ways have you already received? Where have you already experienced God and his kingdom in your life? And where God may be calling you next. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious and good Father, as we journey towards the cross this Lenten season, it is a time of self-examination, of prayer, of charity. It's truly a time of giving and receiving. So let us be strong in our faith. Give us the trust of a child to give what you may be calling us to give, to have hands that are more open than closed. And that even when we feel like this journey we are on is asking too much, or whether it's a small or a big thing, whether it feels like the most important thing in the world or not, give us the heart to give it to you. Allow us the peace, the beauty, the blessing to have that kind of trust to where we can receive that blessing that is your kingdom. Your kingdom filled with your presence and your life bursting forth. Let us experience that. Let us hold that as a reality of our lives. And Father, remind us that in those moments where we feel lost, hurting, broken, stepped on, hurt, like we have given it all, and there's nothing left to give, maybe not even to you, but just to this life, just to our efforts, may we be recentered on you and your life, your Son and your kingdom, and may we be given true life. May we receive the blessing that is for being last. We pray this in your name, Father, and in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.